everyone. Welcome to another episode of Debunking Electricity Myths, brought to you by EMRC Nigeria. I'm your host, ICRTT. Today, we're going to be debunking a very interesting myth that has been long-standing in the Nigerian electricity space. This myth is that electricity should be free. And my guests for this discussion are Brahila Thomas, the Country Director for EMRC Nigeria, and Mrs. Wola Joseph Kondoti, the Chief Legal and Company Secretary for Eco Electricity Distribution PLC. It's amazing to have these two brilliant women on this conversation today. Welcome, ladies. It's nice to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
That's great. So jumping into the conversation, I would like to ask first to Wola, in your capacity as the Chief Legal and Company Secretary, and in your past capacity as the Chief of Consumer Affairs, have you had any experience with consumers insisting that electricity should be free?
Thank you very much, IC, for that question. And it's quite interesting that you ask that question because, yes, I have encountered customers that feel that electricity should be free. As the chief legal officer, we prosecute bypass regularly. We have cases of energy theft, free riders. And a lot of all those cases is people just having the mentality that they should not pay for power. Also, when I was chief customer service, position I held for about 4.5 years, also you would have customers call and wonder why they're receiving bills for different reasons, quite interesting reasons, if I may put it that way. So yes, definitely in my experience, I have encountered quite a number of customers that feel that power should be free.
Thank you very much. Rahila, would you like to add to that? In your capacity, have you experienced any situation where electricity consumers feel they should get electricity for free?
You know how it is in Nigeria, in a country where when the electricity market was government owned, obviously the thoroughness or the checks that you have today in terms of holding customers accountable, which when I was just speaking to that, they persecute customers who they find stealing energy. In the past, we didn't really have that conversation. Today, there's a lot of conversation about energy theft. How do we curb it? Even talking about now that you're going to have states participating in power development, there's a conversation around the states supporting the electricity companies to curb this energy theft. So that also tells me that before privatization, a lot of customers look at electricity as a social good. It's their right. It should be free. It's what government should provide for us. Well, in a way, yes. I always tell people that the only two people that will pay for electricity is either the customer who actually consumes it, pay for it, or you have the government paying for it. And that would take us to the conversation around subsidies. So in my view, I'm not working in a utility, so I don't have a direct experience like Wola has just said. But in my conversations as a customer, having conversations with others, being in a position where I'm advising about things like this, obviously, you see a lot of customers feeling that this is really my right to have free electricity. So that's my thoughts on this.
Okay, thank you very much. So back to you, Rahila. Why do you think there's such a perception in the electricity climb in the country? Why do you think customers believe that they should get electricity for free? What would you say is the cause?
I think I was speaking to that earlier, that when it was power holding company, PACN, before it was privatized in 2013, a lot of customers, you know, got away by not paying for the consumption of electricity. You had a lot of connivance with staff of the power holding company at that time, where you pay part for your electricity bill rather than paying it in full. And again, we didn't have a regulator that held the power holding company accountable for the energy or kilowatt that they sell to customers and how much they should be making. There was no accountability, no sense of checking things. It was just free for all. And the customers who have had such experience, orientation for 40 decades, they are used to it. So now you have a situation where customers are metered. Some customers, for instance, say that they are paying too much. They rather not even have meters. And why is that? Because they feel they shouldn't be paying so much. And so I think it's just the orientation that has been in place for such a long time before privatization that people have carried into the private sector. Now, the power sector is privately owned. They are going to banks to get loans, to invest, to maintain their network, to have customers get it. Well, there can be an argument that we are paying for darkness, as some customers always allude to. But yes, that that's really what it is. It's just an orientation. People have gotten used to not paying for electricity. And now with private sector, they don't feel that there's a need for them to do that if they're not getting the supply as they expect it to be.
Wella, please, would you like to add anything to that?
I mean, Raila just hit the nail on the head. I think that was the beginning of our problems with the mentality or the mindset of the fact that electricity should be free. Government-owned utilities 100%, and who funds the government? The people. They pay taxes. So naturally, they'll feel that it's their right to not pay for power since they own the business, quote unquote. So, and also, I think another issue might be the cross-subsidies as well. People are used to power being subsidized by other people. Certain class of people have never really paid 100% for power. And that's not to say the people who subsidize the other set of people do not also believe they should have power free. But I see that because we're not used to paying what I would call real cost reflective tariff at all levels, we tend to have those type of issues in terms of, I was paying 10 naira last year. Why am I paying 150 naira this year? You know what I mean? Especially when you're moving from, and I'm just giving an example, especially when you're moving from a government-owned entity to a privatized entity, definitely the price of power would have changed. So there's a problem, like a social issue, like Rahila said, with adjusting to a thing like that. Also, when the government subsidizes something, there's always a mindset of, why should they be paying? Government is subsidizing. That also could create some form of problem. But the other issue I honestly see is the quality of the service is also a challenge. And I know Raila touched on that briefly. She mentioned the fact that people feel they are paying for darkness. When the quality of the service is not at a level that they feel they should even part with their hard-earned money for, then you have people feeling like, look, why should I pay for it? It should be free. Then also, I think we have a bit of a trust issue as well. I hear of cases where people say, my meter is running fast. So people don't believe in the integrity of meters or the technology used to measure power. And because of that, they just don't want to pay for it. They feel it should be free. And I think the last point is the way it's treated when people bypass. I think there's a major problem with that. I've had cases where people bypass, and I have a lot of very, very senior government officials call me to withdraw the case from court. And I'm talking about judges, I'm talking about, depending on who the bypasser is, but you have cases like that. And for me, as long as people don't see the seriousness in the offense, you can't deter the behavior, you can't correct the behavior. So that also is a major problem. Legislatively, they've tried. We have laws, we have the Miscellaneous Offenses Act, even the current Electricity Act has very, very good provisions on dealing with bypass. So it's good. But it's also the judicial aspect of it, where it has to do with when you have cases before the courts. When people bypass or people steal power, we have people that have used power free for years. You have cases where the judge gives them 6 months imprisonment, or the judge gives them community service. For me, I don't think that would correct the behavior, to be honest. But the law actually provides for more years in terms of punishment. So I think some of these issues, if we put them all together, you would kind of understand why people don't feel like power should be paid for. First of all, if they steal it or use it without paying for it, no one is going to punish them. And if they punish them, the punishment won't be so severe. So we have those type of issues that just make it difficult to let people change their mindset with power in terms of how they see power. And also when we have the big people, the wealthy, who also condone, oh, you know, you locked up my nephew, you locked up my niece, please release him. Is it not just power they stole? It's just electricity now. It's just 6 months. It's just 1 year. What's the big deal? As long as we continue to treat it that way, I don't see how the mindset will change. Of course, there are things we can do to correct it, but to improve it, let me not say correct it completely, but that requires a collaborative effort at all levels.
Thank you so much, Wella. So now that we have established that there is a perception where people think electricity should be free, and we've identified some of the causes, it means electricity does have a price then. So Wella, please, can you please take us through the factors that contribute to electricity pricing in Nigeria?
So yes, some of the key factors that are considered in determining the price of power are the generation costs. We have that. We have the transmission cost, and we have the distribution cost. And at those three levels, you have their CapEx, capital expenditure, their OPEX, operating expenditure. All that is factored into determining the tariff. But aside from that, we have gas prices, we have Forex. So things like this influence the price of power. You have the US and Nigeria inflation rates. And that's why when the Forex markets were unified, you could see that naturally NERC started calling for meetings, and they were trying to review the tariff and all of that, because that has a direct impact on tariff. So once there's a shift in any of these indices, we should absolutely expect that the pricing of power would change. So these are the key factors. Of course, there are a lot of other things that we could consider, but these are the key buckets that actually influence our tariff today.
So knowing that we have prices that should be paid for by electricity consumers, when they do not pay for this electricity, what are the effects? How does it ripple through the entire value chain? Rahila, please, would you?
So going back to the components which Wella mentioned, you have generation costs. In the generation cost, you would have, like she said, the CAPEX and the OPEX, and there's the financing in there. And that is replicated across the value chain in transmission and distribution. Now, distribution is at the retail end, and they are the ones that take all that money from the customers, and then they begin to pay it upstream. So when we say upstream, it's like you're paying every other person that is in that supply chain that provided that power. So a distribution company will collect the revenues. So from every kilowatt they've sold to a customer, the customer has consumed and I have taken the money. I have to now pay for the transmission cost, the party who helped me to wheel that power to where I want it to be. And I also have to pay for the person that actually generated the power, put it into the transmission lines that got into my distribution line and got to my lines as a customer. Now, if you are allow that to keep going on without curbing it is what you term commercial losses. Talk about aggregate, technical, commercial and collection losses. When you hear commercial losses, it's around energy theft. Now, if that keeps increasing, then my revenues to be able to pay my suppliers upstream will be limited. And I don't have enough revenue to pay for my transmission charges or fees or pay for the energy I get from my generators. The generators will not have enough money to be able to expand. So for an example, if a generator has a 500 megawatt capacity plant to supply you, the distribution company, if the distribution company is unable to pay that generator, the generator is unable to pay for the capacity, obviously from debt, the capacity will have been financed with debt. And if you're unable to do that, then the financiers will not have a basis to be able to provide further capital for that generation company to expand. So it has a terrible effect on the entire value chain, because at that tail end, the retail end, if I don't get all my money, then everybody suffers in the value chain, because you are the distribution end. Who is the interface with the customer is the only person getting all this revenue. And you have the obligation to pay everybody up to generation. And if the generation is not paid, then the generator is also unable to pay for their gas suppliers. In Nigeria, 75 or 80% of our electricity is gas-based. So that tells you that if the generators don't get their money, then they are unable to pay the gas suppliers. And there was this time in Nigeria where, I think it's happened on two or three occasions, where the gas suppliers switched off. They just turned off the tap. They said, no, we're tired of being owed money. We need our money now. And a lot of intervention had to happen to get them to open that tap again. So I think customers need to understand that if they do not pay for their bills, or the consumption, then it affects the quality of supply they'll get in future. Now, I know that some listening to us will say, but wait a minute, I'm not getting the supply. The service I'm getting is so bad. So what are we talking about? Yes, I would agree with that. For some areas, for some customers, they have a bad experience. But at the end of the day, the utilities in those areas are going to be held accountable for poor service. That is why the regulator is there in the first place.
Thank you so much, Rahila. Thank you, ladies. It was a very insightful session with you both. So, guys, I hope we are able to understand now that electricity as a service should not be free. And there are a lot of factors that determine electricity pricing in Nigeria, which should be paid for. Thank you, everyone, for being on the podcast. And thank you, our audience, for listening.
Thank you so much.